Yeah, I can tell you that we have literally spent every single penny we have. We are in scary territory at the minute. So, yeah, it's massive. Financial toll is huge. Yeah, and time-wise as well, it's massive commitment as well.
Hmm.
I mean, myself and my husband are together 8 years. We've been trying to conceive for five, and we've been getting help from the Harry Clinic in the Rotunda for the last three and a half years. It takes like a year, almost a year and a half of tests before you'll actually get to active fertility treatment,
wow.
If that makes any sense. It's quite a long-winded process, which is fine because there's a lot of issues to deal with. Like I have a litany of issues. I have low ovarian reserve, like of a 45-year-old woman. I have stage 3 endometriosis. I have a high FSH hormone level. I have poor overall health. I've had blocked fallopian tubes, and I had a laparoscopy to fix that. I've had a heart surgery last year as well, and I'm dealing with a chronic pain issue with osteoarthritis in my spine.
Oh, Dervla, my God, that's awful.
Oh, it's horrendous. I can't even tell you. But, yeah, it's a massive burden for both myself and my husband. And we're lucky in the fact that we got married 2 years ago. And although I didn't need to pay for IVF, which was amazing, like our guests were just very generous. And, you know, that's what we used to pay for our last couple of rounds. And my parents were good enough then to give us the money for our this is going to be our ultimate, our last go. So that's going to be in June. And, oh, I don't know, fingers crossed, I suppose.
Dervla, there must be emotional highs and emotional lows, because I suppose when you're going, you know, starting your fifth treatment, do you go in feeling excited? Like, do you allow yourself to even get excited about the possibility? How do you deal with it?
Well, see, this is a funny thing now, because part of the treatment in the Harry Clinic is mandatory counselling, and I like to hope for the best and prepare myself for the worst. I mean, the success rate of between 21 and 24% for a woman of my age, around 35, is really relatively low, you know. And, I mean, I had one of the counselors tell me that, you know, that the fact that I wasn't thinking positive is detrimental to the result, but I don't think that's true. I mean, I know, obviously, stress in your body produces cortisol, and cortisol is detrimental to implantation and all the various aspects of IVF, like body response. But I mean, I just think that you can't set yourself up for a fall either. You know, you have to be realistic about it. And there's so much else going on. I mean, it's IVF at the best of times is a minor miracle, you know?
You know, during those 8 years, what did you try before IVF? Because you said you were kind of, it was about a 5 year period where you hadn't started your IVF treatments. I mean, had you gotten advice from people? Were you going down the routes of, you know, like Scientology and acupuncture and all that sort of stuff? Or what did you try?
Oh, we tried everything. We tried all of the nutritional supplements. I mean, I have every book written by, you know, Zita West and all the fertility experts out there. I mean, we've literally tried nutritional supplements, we've tried acupuncture, we've tried meditation, we tried counselling, we tried every position under the sun.
Hmm.
We also tried Clomid for 3 months, and of course, Clomid is a fertility drug that causes your ovaries to produce ripen multiple eggs at once, so the chances of you, of a woman who doesn't normally ovulate, it really increases the chances of a pregnancy because it forces the ovaries to actually produce eggs. So we try, that's always the first point you call usually for people when they go down the IVF route. It's not actually IVF, it's just a fertility drug, but it's a lot of women get pregnant using Clomid. So, but that obviously didn't work for us. So, it's hard. I mean, I actively avoid shopping centres and, you know, places where there are seas of buggies and ladies with lovely babies. And I mean, I was walking around one of the German supermarkets yesterday behind a lady with an infant in a car seat. I couldn't even look at the child. You know, it's very hard.
Dervla, it sounds like though you have an amazing support system around you. That does that help at all? The fact that, you know, your family and friends were giving you cash for your wedding, they support you in this quest, and the fact that you can talk about this with others, is that helpful for you rather than keeping this all just to yourself and to your husband?
Oh, it is. I mean, it's only because I've always talked openly about my infertility issues because I have a lot of health issues and everything's related in this life, you know. Mm. And I've always been very open and upfront with people about it. And I can't talk to strangers on the road about it. But, yeah, I mean, I've discovered an awful lot of my friends, school friends and friends coming back who have had problems for years and they've never said a word to anyone about it. And I know it's not for everybody to be open and honest about it because, honestly, when you're going through IVF, the last thing you want is the phone ringing every half an hour. Any news yet? You know?
Yeah. Because you're already thinking that yourself. You really just don't. You sort of want everyone to go away, and even you want your own thoughts to go away, I'd imagine.
Oh, yeah, that's it. I mean, you need to find something to keep yourself busy and occupied. I mean, I have the greatest respect for women who do this when they're in full-time employment because it is just the most difficult thing. It's like the IVF process. I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. Your body isn't your own. IVF is all about your body betraying you. You're not physically capable of doing the one thing that you're put on earth to do. You know, it's a very difficult thing and coming to terms with that. I mean, we're at the point because we're kind of getting the last chance and we thought that our last round was our last round. So I've been looking into all of the help online and counselling with how do you know that this is the end? You know, where do you draw the line? I mean, a lot of people will remortgage their house to pay for IVF. Those, of course, who are lucky enough to have a bank who will do that. Obviously not in this day and age, but in years gone by. I mean, those options just aren't there anymore for people. And what do? You go to the credit union and say, look, I really want to have a child. Could you please loan me €7,000 so that I can have a go? You know, there's a 20% chance that it'll work. You know, it's the hardest thing. Mm. And I have so much empathy for other people going through the same thing because it is a silent grief.
Can we, I suppose, help other people who are around those who are trying IVF? Are there things that people have said that have been hurtful or unhelpful? Maybe someone suggested, well, why don't you just try adoption? Are there things that people shouldn't say to people who have IVF?
Oh, God, you know, and as much as I welcome support. Just as somebody who's gone through this for 5 years, I have read every book and I've done every amount of research that's physically possible as a layman to do. I mean, when you're not a consultant, you know, endocrinologist or a gynecologist, you're not going to learn so much. But I mean, I know anything that anyone on the street can tell me about IVF, I already know 20 times more than they do. And sometimes it's not helpful to kind of badger a person who's undergoing IVF with, you know, have you tried this or have you tried standing on your head whilst doing your injections? I mean, stuff like that isn't helpful. But I would say to people, and I heard this in, I read this in one of the books that I was reading, Infertility, a Memoir, is to say, I'm sorry that this is happening to you. I'll leave it at that. I mean, that tells the person that you're thinking of them, that you're with them, that you support them, but it doesn't leave them justifying their personal life decisions with regards to IVF to you or to anybody else on the street. I mean, have you tried adoption? No, I haven't tried adoption, but if you come across a bag with €100,000 in it, give it to me. Like, I'll go to South America or to Asia and I'll do my best to adopt a child and bring it back. If I had €100,000, no problem. I mean, stuff like that just isn't helpful, you know. I mean, adoption in Ireland isn't what it used to be in the 1970s, and I think people are under the illusion that there are hundreds of children waiting to be adopted when that just simply isn't the case. Mm. Surrogacy obviously isn't an option because the Irish legislators aren't broad-minded enough to put in place, you know, measures to allow people to have their children elsewhere and to bring them back into the country. There's obviously the recent case of the two, I can't even remember their names, I'm so sorry, who went across to India to have their child via surrogate, gestation surrogate, and then weren't allowed to bring the child back home to Ireland without a major legal fight.
We were talking about that story on the programme before. Listen, Adele, first off, you seem like such a wonderful person. I wish you every luck in your next go, and thank you so much for coming on the programme. I think a lot of people will have probably gotten a wake-up call for those who aren't trying, but I'm sure you've inspired a lot of listeners, so thank you so much for your time. Thanks, Dermot.
No problem. Thank you very much, Danny. Cheers. Bye-bye.
You can text us 087-188-1038. You can also email us thespin@spin1038.com. Your reaction to Dervla, please.
Coming up on The Spin.
The world's 50 best restaurants.
And cheating partners.
The Spin.
On Spin 1038.
Dublin's talking.
We're listening.
Spin 1038's The Spin.
It's National Infertility Day, so we're looking to speak to people who have struggled to conceive, what sort of challenges they faced and how they overcame them. If they managed to do that, we heard Dervla there. She's had IVF four times, desperately wants to have a baby, and she's decided that her next round of IVF will be her last. Incredible strength in the woman, I think, and lots of texts kind of reflecting that. 087-188-1038 for your comments.
An anonymous texter says, my wife and I have had fertility problems and never had our own child. We stayed positive and have gone on to become foster parents with a private agency. We have a challenging 12-year-old placement with us, and my life feels complete now that we can help many different children from all ages and backgrounds.
Well, I mean, that's great to hear. And it's really heartwarming to see that people can manage to do that, can manage to kind of focus their energies elsewhere. But I suppose for some people that isn't what kind of drives them, from a very primal place. And it seems that, Dervla is not quite ready to think about that just yet. Another texter says, hi guys, myself and my wife had to go through IVF, ICSI due to me having a low sperm count. We were in our late 20s. It was the worst thing anyone can go through. We started last June. All tests went over the space of 3 months. My wife had treatment. She's now pregnant with twins. Lol. I would just like to thank all the staff at Claim Fertility Clinic. They gave us great support, but it cost a lot of money. The final cost was €8,600. Wow. But we would have paid double for the cost of the result. My heart goes out to that lady and her husband. I wish them the best of luck on their next go. Let's go to Adele. Hi, Adele. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
It's good to hear some positive stories, Adele. And you had fertility problems when you were in your 20s, but I suppose you get a positive result in the end. But talk to us about the beginnings. 20s, I suppose, is not the time that most people nowadays think of fertility.
Yeah, exactly. And I find that with a lot of the programs that you listen to, people are always focusing on people in their 30s and 40s. But with us, it was when we were in our 20s. We got married at 25 and started kind of trying for a baby straight away. And after a year, we realized nothing was happening. And we got referred to a fertility clinic. And by 2008, we had done our first IVF. And that, unfortunately, was unsuccessful. And it really just, it gutted us. It absolutely tore us apart. And it gutted us so much that, it took us 4 years before we were really prepared to kind of go for another IVF. Now, in the meantime, like Dervla, we tried all the alternatives. We tried acupuncture, reflexology, counselling, all those things, like all the nutritional supplements, nothing seemed to work. And finally, last year, about last March, we geared ourselves up and we decided we were going to go for a second IVF. And the day that we got the call from the hospital about our dates, we realised that I hadn't actually had a period in 32 days. And when we went home and did a test, we got the shock of our lives. We got a positive result. And we have our little baby boy was born in December, just gone, and he's like absolutely like he's the light of our lives. We never thought we'd get that opportunity.
Adele, you said you spent 4 years, there was your IVF treatment, and then there were 4 years trying different treatments.
Yeah.
What effect does that have on your relationship? Because does your relationship become all about having the child?
In fairness, I didn't. I think IVF can either do two things. I think it can make it or break it. And it absolutely made us, we became so strong. We became an absolute unit. And, we tried our best to keep busy and to stay positive. I suppose where it did have an effect on our relationships was maybe with our relationships with friends and family. We come from, on my husband's side, there's, you know, a lot of children on his side, and, you know, we found it harder to be attending all those kind of occasions. Like, there was always a birthday or a christening. And, you know, even when we were going through IVF, there was christenings to attend, and we found those harder. And I suppose we weren't as open as Dervla was about it. We told our close family, but we didn't tell other people. So, and because we were in our 20s, we got a lot of comments, you know, from people about, like, oh, you know, you'll be next, or when's the baby coming? I don't think people expected us to be having problems because of our age.
Yeah.
You know, but it got to the stage where when you were thinking about a social occasion, you were trying to prepare yourself for who'd make the comments and when the comments would come and how soon you could leave and how soon you could avoid the, you know, how you could avoid the comments.
Oh, God, that's no way to be, is it, Adele?
Yeah, no, it is. It's absolutely, it's gut-wrenching. It's, as Fiona said, you know, in this, at the start, you cannot describe the heartbreak of it. And, you know, even after having the successful, you know, having our little boy, like, I still, my heart just breaks when I hear about other people going through it.
Yeah, Adele, funny is the wrong word to use here, but it's, you know, for so much of our lives as girls, I was saying to Jonathan before, every month we go, oh, thank goodness it's here. Thank goodness
exactly.
It's here. Yeah. And then every month where you're just going, oh, it's here.
Yeah.
How was your husband? Emotionally, how did this affect him?
He stayed strong for me, now, in fairness, but it broke his heart. It absolutely broke his heart. And, you know, we were in the unexplained category, so we didn't even have a reason. So we both used to say, oh, it's probably me, or it's you know, he used to think the same thing, but I know it broke his heart, but yet he felt he had to be strong for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I know he probably hid a lot of his grief, and, you know, it's only now when I see him with our baby and I see, you know, how happy and how proud he is, you know, I realize how much it must have broken his heart as well.
Absolutely. And you know, there is no greater joy, you know. I mean, it sounds like a cliche, but, you know, I think it absolutely is true. It's so good to hear that you did have success. Adele, thank you so much for coming on and cherish that little fella.
Thank you. And thank you for talking about this topic. And can I just wish Dervla all the best? Mm-hmm. I really hope she has success now in the summer.
Yeah. Yeah. I think pretty much everyone who's listening does too. Adele, thanks very much for coming on.
Thanks, Amanda.
Lots of texts coming in about Dervla. My heart goes out to that girl. I have cervical cancer. I can't have children. Found out at 27 years. I'm now 32. It's a very sad thing overall.
Another texter says, my heart is broken listening to Dervla. She deserves this so much. Every good thought I have is with her.
Let's go to Aoife. Hi, Aoife. How are you?
Hiya.
You have one daughter already. Is that right? So when you first conceived, was there a problem in the run-up to that, or was that just
no,
normal?
She was a little bit of a surprise, so there was absolutely no issue in that way. She was so when we decided to start trying again after we got married, we didn't really think we'd have many problems. We're young and both healthy, so, and we did, we conceived really quickly. That was back in November, and then soon after we found out it was an ectopic, so I lost my fallopian tube. So I'm one tube down, so although I should still conceive okay, there's still no guarantee that we will be okay again, you know.
So have you considered other options, Aoife, or are you going down the we'll try naturally first and then see what happens?
We're going to try naturally first and see, but I'll do anything that we will have to do, you know. It's something that we'd really want, and again, we want to give our daughter a sibling. She'd really like one. And it's something we'd really like to do. So we would do anything that we have to do, but we're going to try naturally first. And we're trying our best not to think about it too much. And it's so difficult. Every month you're hoping.
What about the, I want to be sensitive here, but the mechanics of it. I mean, is it difficult when, rather than thinking about the passion you have for your partner, you're thinking about, well, we have to do this every 2 days or every 3 days for a month to make sure that this is going to happen? Like, does it become less of a thing you do for fun and more of a thing that you feel you do out of duty?
Yeah, it's very hard. And I mean, more for him, he'd kind of say, you know, we've got to stop. I'd say, right, today's a good day. What do you think? And he'd be like, I'm not doing anything because you're telling me it's a good day. Because you can't, it is very difficult. So we've tried to stop thinking like that, especially since the ectopic. We've kind of said, you know, we've got to switch off. Let's just try and enjoy our lives and hope it happens. But it's so difficult, especially more for me than himself. You know, I'm constantly thinking about it.